In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What comes to mind when you hear that opening verse of the Bible? To what does the phrase, in the beginning, refer? You would probably answer that it refers to the commencement of the universe, to the beginning of time, when God created all things out of nothing. And you would, of course, be right. In the beginning does refer to the beginning of this universe. However, there is more here than initially meets the eye. Not only does in the beginning refer to the beginning, but it also refers to a person, namely the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is the Word who was with God and was God in the beginning, through whom all things were made, apart from whom nothing was made. Jesus is the beginning. Having knowledge of this eternal truth adds significance to the creation account. The Son of God did not merely sit on His throne until it was time for Him to be born into this world. He was intimately involved with the creation of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth could rightly be rendered in Jesus, the Son of God. God created the heavens and the earth. Everything, every atom, every molecule was created in Jesus. He is the Word of God, the let there be in the creation account. It is this Word, this Jesus, the one who speaks everything into existence, who became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. At just the right time, God the Son came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Mystery of mysteries, He came in the most improbable of ways, born as a seemingly helpless infant. But that babe who lay in the Bethlehem manger, who nursed from Mary's breasts, was at the same time the creator of all things, now one, intimately connected with His creation. 30-some years later, the Word made flesh came to the village of Cana, where He had earlier turned water into wine. A certain nobleman, one of the king's officers, heard that Jesus was there and rushed to Cana from his home in Capernaum, nearly 20 miles away. His son was very ill and at the point of death, and this official left the bedside of his dying son to make the day's journey to find Jesus. That took faith. And this official is right to seek after Jesus, for Jesus does have the power to heal his dying son. But what happens when he finally reaches Jesus? You can just imagine the scene. He's out of breath, been running the whole day long to get to Jesus. What happens when he gets there and begs of Jesus to come with him and heal his son? Jesus responds, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? It's not the expected response. This man has traveled in haste and in constant worry over his son, and when he gets to Jesus, he is met with this rebuke. Why? Because Jesus desires to strengthen this man's faith. He wants this man to know exactly who he's dealing with here. Jesus is not some magician or faith healer, nor is He a mere miracle-working prophet. Jesus is God in the flesh, the Creator of all things. He doesn't need to go down with the official to his house in order to heal his son. He need only speak his word. This doesn't initially resonate with the official, for he repeats his request to Jesus. Sir, come down before my child dies. And here Jesus brings the lesson home, for he says, go, your son lives. It is that word spoken by the Word made flesh that instantaneously heals the official son. But, don't miss it, dear friends, just as important, it is that word spoken by the Word made flesh that creates faith in the official himself. For we're told that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. It is all about the Word, dear friends in Christ. This official was sent away with nothing but the promise of Jesus' Word in his pocket. No physical or visible proof, no miraculous sign or wonder, just the Word of promise. Your son lives. Oh, but what a powerful word this is. The Word speaks, and it is so. The Word says, let there be light, and there is light. The Word says, your son lives, and your son lives. It's all about the Word, dear friends in Christ. It's not about signs and wonders. It's not about emotions and feelings. It's not about earthly blessings of health, wealth, and prosperity. It's all about the Word, and the Word alone. The problem for us is, of course, that we all too often fail to realize this. We want more. We want proof. We want tangible evidence that assures us that the Word is trustworthy and true. We want to see and feel the effects of the Word in our lives. And when we don't, when things aren't going well for us, when we are afflicted with suffering and pain, when we don't see the results we want to see, the devil is Johnny on the spot to try to drag us down into doubt and despair. If the Word were really true, he slithers, then how come you're suffering so? Or, how about this one that is very relevant to our day and age? If you Lutherans have the true Word, then how come you have empty spots in your pews? Look at the mega churches that pack stadiums full of people gathered around dynamic preachers who have new words and perform signs and wonders which appeal to the masses. My friends, St. Paul speaks the truth. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The devil and his minions seek one thing and one thing only, to convince God's children to forsake the Word of God and trust in something else. Repent. Dear friends in Christ, for you have all too often fallen prey to the attacks of the devil. You have lent him your ear far too often. He is a liar from the beginning, and yet you have been guilty of believing his lies. Believing that it is okay to tell the white lie, or to spread a little gossip, or to commit secret sins in dark places, as if God is unaware of what you're doing. Most of all, he has all too often been successful in placing a veil of darkness over your eyes so that you do not see how desperately you need Jesus Christ and the gifts he bestows to you here in his holy house. But try as he might, the devil can do no damage to the Word. He cannot diminish the Word in the least. For the Word made flesh, He who created all things defeated the devil. He who had the power to thwart His enemies by uttering a few syllables from His holy mouth remained as silent as a sheep before its shearers on His way to the cross. When He broke His silence, finally, it wasn't to utter words to save Himself, which He surely could have uttered, but it was to utter words to save His enemies, which, by the way, includes you and me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And just before He gave up His Spirit unto death for us, the Word made flesh spoke the final nail into the coffin of death, the devil, and our own sinful flesh when He declared, "It is finished." Dear friends in Christ, it's all about the Word. The Word which declares that your salvation is complete. All we have is that Word, just like the official who is sent home with nothing but the promise of Jesus' Word in his pocket. So it is that we, who are on this journey through this sinful wilderness called the world, have nothing but the Word of Jesus' promise to which to cling. All we have is the Word, but it is sufficient for us. It's all we need. For the Word is the sword of the Spirit by which we ward off the attacks of the evil one. The Word is powerful and effective. It accomplishes what it says. And it is that Word which comes to you here in this place, saying to you time and time again that you, sinner that you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified, marked by the holy sign of the Holy Cross as God's dear and beloved child. That Word, the same Word who said, "Let there be light," declares that the simple bread and wine upon the altar is the very body and blood of the Word made flesh, given into you for the forgiveness of your sins. Hear, dear friends in Christ, the Word of promise is implanted into you that you may know with certainty that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is yours through faith in His Son, Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Let others look for signs and wonders, seeking to qualify their faith through feelings, emotions, and earthly blessings. Not so with us. We cling to the Word and to the Word alone. And we pray today, as always, Lord, keep us steadfast in Thy Word. It is this Word which enables us, dear friends, to put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of the faith. It is this Word which enables us to confess the truth to God, our Heavenly Father, saying, "Your Son lives." In His name, in the name of the Word made flesh, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.